Welcome to the Side Hustle series. This episode is brought to you by Squarespace. Start building your website today at squarespace.com. Enter the offer code SIDEHUSTLE at checkout to get 10% off. Squarespace. Build it beautiful. This is Once Out Loud by Laura and Greg. After meeting at a bar and joking about starting a band, this indie pop duo is gaining momentum. They just finished playing at the CMJ Music Festival and released their first album in May. Hang on, we're all at large. Let the weight of a single moment push me hard with nothing to push back, stare at, run right through. Living Laura O'Neill and Greg Yakelnitzer are Laura and Greg. But that's not their only job. Laura is also the co-founder of Van Leeuwen Artisan Ice Cream and the co-owner of Selamat Pagi, an Indonesian restaurant in Brooklyn. And Greg's a visual artist with a huge range of projects. Most recently, he co-directed a video for Weezer. Some tiny band, never heard of them. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you.
Hello, thank you.
We're also joined by Danielle Ponder from the studios in Rochester, New York. She just returned from a European tour, and her next album is Moments from Dropping, called Blow Out the Sun. She's the heart of her own soul band, and during the day, she's a public defender for Monroe County. Here's her song, Three Word Revolution. Ever since I was born, people try to tell me what to do, where to go, how to wear my hair. They tell me God is a man who would surely burn me if I didn't follow the rules. Well, that ain't fair. 'Cause there's a rebel inside of me. Welcome to the show, Danielle.
Thank you for having me.
And I'm your host, Andrea Salenzi. My guests today are all musicians, taking different approaches in different genres, but they share one common ground. They're balancing their day jobs with their creative side gigs, their music. Laura and Greg, you met at a bar?
That's true.
Yep.
So Laura's ice cream store is right next to the bar, or used to be, and she was working on some new ice cream flavors that she wanted me to try.
Some vegan ice cream, because Greg is vegan. So when I found out he was vegan, I was like, I gotta get you to try these scoops. And it was over the scoops that we started talking about music.
Yeah, and then actually followed through and did it.
That part is like the most important part, the followed through and did it part. So how did you realize that you were compatible musically, that this was going to not just be like, oh, we're going to start a band. It was going to be, we're going to start a band.
Well, I was in a band that was kind of fizzling out, and I had been in, I don't know, a bunch of bands before this, and I was just looking for something new to work on, and Laura sang for me. Then you played, what was that song that you played?
I was, like, playing my, like, 5 chords on guitar. I think this song only needed 2, and singing along, and this is, like, one of the first times we're hanging out, and Greg was just, like, there, like, watching me, like, sing and play, and he was, like, totally, like, gobsmacked, and, like, I finished the song, and he's like, you wrote that? And I was like, that's Dreams, Fleetwood Mac. But, like, I feel like he was just like, holy shit. Like, this girl's, like, amazing. But, yeah, Greg grew up.
I'm late to a lot of music, so.
Greg is, he was born in Moldova and then came here when he was 4.
I'm an immigrant.
I feel like he wasn't exposed to as much kind of
American pop culture.
American
for sure.
And British. You didn't discover the Beatles till you were 18.
19.
So as you guys started gearing up and recording more music and releasing more music, was there ever a fear that you wouldn't have room for it with all the other projects you have going on?
On my part, I am my own boss. So at the same time, I'm never not working, but I do get to kind of call my own hours. And if I want to take an afternoon off because we have a show that night or something, or I'm going to take a day off because we're driving upstate to play a show or something like that, I have like the luxury to do that. So it works out well. And Greg is now freelance, so it's kind of a perfect situation.
Worked out well.
Someone who knows never not working is our other guest, Danielle Ponder. Danielle, when did your music career begin?
I would say for me personally as an artist, I played in Attica Correctional Facility, and that was probably a moment where I really felt like, you know, music is so powerful, like I cannot neglect this. Because I always was like, I'm just doing this for fun, like whatever, I'm going to be a lawyer. But playing in Attica was just so, it was crazy to play with men who have been kind of, you know, thrown away. A lot of the men came up on stage and one guy played the saxophone, another guy played the keyboard, another guy was singing. And like that, the power of music got us in those doors. You know what I mean? So that was like a moment where I realized how influential this could be and how healing it could be for people. And I needed to take it much more seriously than I was.
How did that gig come about?
Well, my brother is actually was in Attica. So one reason I went to law school is my brother's doing 20 years to life for a robbery. That sentence is because we have mandatory minimums, 3 strikes and you're out, essentially. He's been in Attica for 19 years now, so he's only got a year left. But I'm happy we did it because it was crazy. It was really cool.
I feel like still today your music balances your day job and the two are very complementary. Could you tell us more about how your interest in social justice balances these two passions?
Yeah, I think my experience as working as a public defender definitely informs some of the lyrics I write. Even when I was in law school, I wrote a song there called Criminalized, which is about the criminal justice system. And that was really based on some of the things that I learned while I was in law school. In the song, I'm talking about probable cause and reasonable suspicion. And I probably wouldn't have known what that was before law school. But I think because the music is an outlet for everything I see every day, I really don't know how I could be a public defender and not have this outlet to express what I see. I'm really thankful for that.
And I totally agree with Danielle about balancing your work life as well. I think it makes me better at what I do with my business because I have like this release and I'm not kind of burned out on one or the other. I think it's great to do more things so that you can kind of remain excited about both things.
I would say that I could definitely do music without the law, but I don't think I could practice law without having the outlet of music.
Do you think it makes you better at your job?
Honestly, I know a lot of my clients because of music, or a lot of my clients know me because of music. I think as being a public defender, one of the biggest issues we face is your clients not trusting you. But I've honestly have clients that come up to me and say, I've seen you at the Lilac Festival, or I've seen you perform here. So I've had some really funny interactions, you know, with clients coming to shows, or clients telling me once, you got to get us out of jail so we can go to your show next week. So I've just had some really funny experiences.
And do you feel like the skills you're honing in your music complement your work as a lawyer?
I always say that to be a public defender is really telling someone's story. And it's telling the story of someone that everyone in that room, from the judge to the DA, is looking at this person as the issue, the problem, the bad person. And as a public defender, you get to be the only one in that room to really highlight what is good about this person, or to really tell their story in a way that elicits empathy from the listener. And that's the same thing you do in music. It's really about getting people to feel what you're saying. And so I think there that skill set of telling a story in a way that your listener feels it. You know, people love songs because we've all been there. Everybody in the world has been there. They felt the breakup, or they felt the amazing feeling of being in love. And artists do a great job of telling that story. Definitely in both fields, it's the art of storytelling, which is the skill.
And Greg, a lot of your work during the day involves people in the music industry, people in the TV business. Are you just constantly handing out album downloads to everyone left and right?
No, I'm pretty timid about that kind of thing. Laura's really good at it. Yeah, I don't do it that often.
Would you ever use your skills as a visual artist to create media for the band?
I do whenever we have a show, we always make like a poster or flyer for it. And I've done all of those with the exception of a few where like whoever's putting on the show maybe made one, but I think ours is always better. And I directed and animated and rotoscoped, which is like kind of tracing over footage, our first music video for Muscle Memory, which ended up being a staff pick on Vimeo, which was super exciting.
So when you're working on like an album cover or a music video or an animation for the Laura and Greg band, do you treat it differently than you would for any other client?
Yeah, I think I put a lot more time and like care into it. Because when you do stuff for other people, even if you like try super hard to make it amazing, it really just depends on what they want. So even if it is like something really cool or something you're really proud of, it could just end up being something that they're not really looking for. And when I do stuff for other people, I just take like kind of small steps and make sure that I'm on the same page as them. Whereas when I do stuff for myself, I typically know exactly what direction I'm going into and can kind of just be a little bit more bold with the decisions and just kind of really go for it.
My fear when I think about doing my own work in that way for myself is that I would have the time limit I would spend all of my time on it, and I wouldn't know how to set that kind of a limit for myself.
The first video took like 3 months to make, and I was just kind of drawing and animating stuff. The second video, since I made it with, or we made it with our friend Brendan, having someone there is a deadline in itself.
So Danielle, when you're balancing your music with your career, how much of your time working on the band actually focuses on the music? Like, what else is involved for you?
So I probably do more than I should, just because I'm kind of a control freak, you know, doing the website, designing logos, working out the CD cover, designing buttons, things of that nature. Like, I will stay up to 4 o'clock in the morning if I have to, just to get those things done. And honestly, that's the one thing about when you're working on something you're passionate about, like sleep just seems not to be a factor. Like, I can literally sit on GarageBand to 5 in the morning if I have like a song that I really like and that I really want to get finished.
How do you structure your time between the two? Is it usually in the wee hours?
As a public defender, your hours are ridiculous. So most of the time I'm working on music is late at night, maybe like between, I don't know, 8 o'clock and maybe 2 in the morning. but you just do whatever you have to do to get it done. And then there's times where I can't really work on music because I'm in what we call intake. So public defenders have heavy caseloads. So when we are taking in cases, you can have 300 cases. And I have to put music on hold just because, you know, I have people's lives in my hand at, you know, in that moment. I really can't have lots of shows or lots of rehearsal when I'm in intake.
Laura, how do you structure your time? Is there a structure? Like, are there set rules that you have to keep your time balanced?
There's not like very set rules, but I remember there was a certain point where Greg and I will normally probably rehearse in the evenings, like after work. But there was a period where I was like kind of like feeling a bit bummed out after work, and it wasn't like the best time creatively. And I think that was frustrating for Greg because we'd be trying to practice and then I'd just sort of not really be totally in it. So we started for a little while practicing like early in the morning, and which is great because we have a shared practice space, which we only have access to on certain days. But going there at like 6 in the morning is not really like the classic time for like Brooklyn musicians to be like using the practice space. So we could kind of go in there like any morning, and that worked out really well. Yeah, it's important to dedicate like good time to like your side project, and not like it can't just be kind of like time where you're not totally in it. But also I've had to like start to make decisions with the music. Sometimes I just have to be like, that is probably not worth it. Like, I'm gonna like lose out something with Van Leeuwen to do this, and it might not be like that amazing for our band, so let's just wait for the next thing.
I think that only happened once though, right?
Yeah, I don't even remember an example of it.
So yeah. This one time you've had to say no is deeply haunting you.
One time in 2 years is pretty good.
Yeah, you try and do everything, but you can't. You have to balance a little.
Yeah. Well, I want to take some time to just pull some lessons from you guys and also have you guys ask each other questions. But first, let's take a quick break. Can we hear a song from you, Danielle, demonstrating this connection between your work as a public defender and your music? Let's listen to We Live. Is there anything you want us to know about this song?
This song is dedicated to Black people and their ability to survive in America. And that's something I see every day in my job. So it influenced me writing this song. Unite.
This episode is brought to you by Squarespace. Whenever I start something new, it always starts with thinking about the website. Can I get that URL? What photo belongs on the landing page? It's one of my first steps towards imagining what this new project will look and feel like when I actually do it.
Yeah, we sort of used to have like all these different links that we would be sending to people, and it just felt kind of chaotic and annoying. And so it was really nice to kind of put everything together in a nice, neat, simple website.
And it was so easy, right?
It was so easy, yeah.
It was almost too easy.
Yeah, I use Squarespace for Van Leeuwen as well, so I feel like I'm a bit of a Squarespace buff at this point.
How'd you guys pick your URL, laurengregmusic.com?
That's a great question.
Well, I think there's probably like some couple that got married and had their wedding site as laurengreg.com.
Oh, yeah.
I think we're more Googleable as a married couple than as a band at this point.
On Squarespace, sites look professionally designed, regardless of skill level, no coding required. They have intuitive and easy-to-use tools, so you can make it look like how you want it to look like. And you can get a free domain name if you sign up for a year. So start your free trial site today at squarespace.com. And when you decide to sign up for Squarespace, make sure to use the offer code SIDEHUSTLE and get 10% off your first purchase. Squarespace. You guys know this line. Do you want to say it?
Squarespace.
Build it beautiful.
Welcome back to the show. Do you have a question about helping your side hustle gain momentum? Follow the Side Hustle conversation at #MySideHustle. So I want to ask some frank questions about money now. Are your bands supplementing your income or draining from it? Where are you guys at with this?
Draining.
Yeah. I mean, we're definitely like in the red for Laura and Greg, but we do make sure that we don't, just because we have money coming from like other avenues, that we don't just kind of have this bottomless pit that we contribute to our music. So it's, you know, we're...
Not that we're close to having a bottomless pit of money.
The bottomless pit. Yeah, it's... I mean, I experience this with... sometimes people, I think, will think that because I have this business that is successful, that maybe I have, like, money to spend on, like, the band stuff, and it's like, you know, just because I have a business doesn't mean that I'm going to spend $3,000 on hiring a publicist. It doesn't make sense for that to come out of, like, Van Leeuwen world to go into, like, Laura and Greg world that is not a profitable venture at this point.
Yeah. I don't know.
So, we are savvy. I think we're savvy with our band stuff. But we, you know, we paid for our own pressing and, you know, we self-released this first record. So we're happy to put some money towards what's important, but it's not a bottomless pit.
No.
Did you create a bank account for it?
No, we have a little purse.
Yeah. We do have a purse. Yeah, no, we don't have a bank account yet. We're not like...
It's a cash business at this point.
Yeah, we're not incorporated just yet.
Yeah.
What about you, Danielle? Is there a bank account for your band?
No, I actually was just talking with someone about starting that because I've done a terrible job of keeping my personal money separate from the band money. I really want to do better at that. I'm used to just pulling from my money to get things done. And just like Laura was saying, I feel I get like the worst deals from people like, oh, you need a website built, $20,000. And I think it's because they see me as a lawyer first, and so they think I have lawyer money, and they charge me private lawyer prices. Where a lot of my friends who are artists, they get all this stuff done for free. And then I also have income from my job that I'm just constantly giving to the band, and I really have to figure out what is the band actually making and what does the band have? Because it is a small business, the band, and you can't really tell if you're doing well if you have this other source of income that you're using to pay for things. So I want to really get better at separating the two.
So goals for next year. Lauren, Greg, how about you?
We really love playing live, so I think touring as much as possible for sure. Mm-hmm. And our sound has kind of changed a little bit over the last few months, so we're pretty eager to get some new music out.
Yeah, we just got done with like a round of new demos that we're shopping around to the contacts that we have, trying to figure out who we can work with on the next release. So there'll be either an EP or an LP early next year.
And Danielle Ponder, what's your next step?
You know, our next step is to release Blow Out the Sun, to try to get distribution of that EP, continue to tour in Europe. I think we're going to go back to Europe in April.
What made you decide to go to Europe as opposed to touring around the United States?
One of my friends tours Europe every year, and I just felt like they would really appreciate soul music. It just was a thought that popped in my head, and I'm like, we should go to Europe. Like, they will eat this up in Europe. And it really, that's what the experience was. Our music has like a little bit of gospel influences in it as well, and that's such a novelty over there. But it also made me just look at the American music scene in amazement. Like, this influence of, you know, Black culture and gospel and hip hop and soul and the experience of Black people in America, and just this melting pot has created some crazy music. Like, and when I'm over there, I'm like so proud of all of us. Like, as much as we go through, like, we know music. Like, we as a country have just created some awesome music through all of the struggles. It affirmed in me that that's, you know, my purpose is to really tell the stories of the underdogs, you know, whether it's in the courtroom or whether it's in Europe. So it made me like ready to like do this.
Danielle Ponder of Danielle Ponder and the Tamara People. How should listeners find you?
You can find me on DanielPonderMusic.com, which is my website. But please like me on Facebook. I think that's more important. If you go to Facebook, Danielle Ponder and the Tomorrow People, everybody wants a lot of likes.
I've been also joined by Laura O'Neill and Greg Jagelnitzer of Laura and Greg. Laura, where can listeners learn more about the music?
You can go to our website, which is lauraandgregmusic.com. And then we're on Instagram and Twitter and all that stuff. And it's Laura Greg, at Laura Greg Music.
And Greg, what song should we go out on?
We have a new song called Masha. We're very excited about it.
I wake up from dreams I wish I didn't have. When my little Masha is alone and says, no one ever calls, they only dress.
For more stories of side hustlers, visit theguardian.com/sidehustle. Share your own side project with hashtag MySideHustle.